Amen. Good morning. Big teddy bear, huh? Okay. And now I got to preach to you. All right. I would like a roaring lion or something like that, but I'll take teddy bear. You know, Richard read a scripture, Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, Scott alluded to it in the communion message, the greatest present we've ever received is Jesus. You know, we got great things yesterday. My son is going crazy. Got Sonic Colors, the video game. You know, I got stuff. You got stuff. But that stuff does not compare to Jesus. You can't wrap Jesus up, though some have tried. Go to the Christian bookstore. You'll see they'll sell you anything with Jesus' name on it. Why do people love Christmas? People love Christmas because this time of the year, most people are nice. Even if they're not nice the rest of the time of the year. I make fun being originally from New York. At this time of the year, people won't push you as much in the trains and in the city. You don't laugh because you have not been there. Go take a trip. Go today. It'll be different than yesterday. You know, the world waits for Christmas. There's anticipation. There's expectations. No one woke up Christmas morning surprised that they found gifts under the table, under the tree. If they were under the table, you'd be surprised. Think about all the preparations. The meal that you had. Someone had to prepare that thing. The gifts that were wrapped. The tree that was bought. The tree that was decorated. All in anticipation of December 25th. Did you guys have a great Christmas? Was all the anticipation, did it live up to your expectations? That's awesome. Turn over to John 20. You go to the mall, October 31st, and what do they have out there? Yeah, not on October 31st. They started to put out the Christmas stuff because they've already celebrated Halloween. It seems like Christmas is being celebrated early and early every year. You can buy your Christmas tree probably in August, you know, and freeze wrap it or something. But it gets ridiculous after a while. See, there's nothing wrong with Christmas. Christmas is fun. I love Christmas. It's a great time. But doesn't the world forget about Christmas the day after Christmas? If you listen to the radio and to the fish, they're already back to regular music. Christmas music is out the door. Last night at midnight, it was gone. I'm still listening to Christmas music. As a disciple, Christmas is every day. Christmas isn't something we celebrate once a year. The only thing we do during Christmas is we take out Rudolph. We take Santa out the closet. All those fun things that we do, that's fine. That tradition is great. But if you only celebrate Christmas one time a year, you're missing it. You know, there's all this preparation for the one day. Then comes today, December 26th. The world goes back into anticipation for Christmas. They go back to, man, I can't wait for Christmas again. I can't wait to see what Santa's going to bring me. And that's the day after we just celebrated it. We go back into, you know, what is next year going to bring? But we don't think about what every day brings. There's a couple of things I want us to help us with, to really keep in our minds, to keep Christmas fresh every day. The first thing is to be grateful for the true gift. Look over in John 20. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken away my Lord,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Not your typical Christmas passage. Not your typical Christmas message. But that's okay. We're not trying to live a typical life. See, Mary did not live a typical life. She goes, and remember, in the context, this is obviously Jesus has been killed. She's mourning. She's weeping. She's hurting. And she goes and she sees the tomb open and his body is not there. Her reaction isn't, "I'm just going to go home. I'm not going to worry about it. Whatever. It's just a body." She's distraught. She sees a man. She doesn't realize it's Jesus. She thinks it's a gardener. He asks her, "What are you looking for?" And she begs him, "Please tell me where my Lord is. I will go get him." Think about that for a second. A woman tells this gardener, "I'll go get the body myself." To me, that says a ton about her character. But more importantly, it shows her gratitude for Jesus. She not only wants to worship him, she wanted to protect him. She wanted to make sure that his name was going to be known. She wanted to make sure that his remains were going to be safe. She said, "I'll physically go and get him myself." You know, if we want to keep Christmas every day, we need to be grateful for the true gift. Guys, the minute that we forget about what Jesus has done for us, Christmas is out the window. You can keep your Rudolph. You keep your Santa Claus. You keep your stockings. I want Jesus. And I know that you did not come out here today for Rudolph. You came out here for Jesus. You know, with our new year coming, I'm just very grateful for all the things God has done for us this past year. You know, talking to Scott before the service, hearing all the great things that are going on in the Queen's ministry, talking to different people from different parts of the country, hearing what God is doing in our churches is amazing. See, when we keep Jesus, when we keep God, when we keep ourselves grateful to what God has done for us, God will do great things with us. You know, when I look at Mary to me shines the example of being devoted. You can't help but see her devotion, her gratitude show up in her life. How is devotion showing up in your life? See, we could be devoted. We could be here on Sunday. We could be here on Thursdays. But unless our lives display gratitude, we are truly not living up to the way Jesus wants us to live. Look over in Philippians 1. The second thing I believe that we need to keep in our minds and in our hearts is that we need to be generous with the gift of Jesus. Look over in Philippians 1, starting in verse 20. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by my death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. You know, here, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. He writes passionately about this inner turmoil that's going on in his heart. He thinks, on one hand, to die would be gain. Because I know when I die, I'm going to be with Christ. And obviously, that's far better than being here in the chains that I'm in. Remember, when this was written, Paul was in chains for preaching the gospel. Do you notice when you read any of Paul's letters, there's not one hint of complaining. There's not one hint of anger. There's no, why God, why me? You know, it's amazing how when our relationship with God is strong, we can go through stuff and it really don't bother us. You know, we can have stresses in our life. You know, they say that putting up a Christmas tree is the second most stressful thing you can do. Moving is number one. The second most stressful thing you can do is putting up a Christmas tree. I can attest to that. I get real anxious. You got to put the balls just right. And, you know, this has to be done. This year I made a pact with me and my ADD that we are not going to ruin putting up the tree. So I spent a lot of time going back and forth from one room to the other, bringing in stuff. I let my kids just go at it. Just do your thing. When they go to sleep, I'll rearrange the balls. Amen? But I didn't need to do that because I did a great job. They gave me the evil eye, but it's all right. The raging battle in Paul's heart. Should I die and be with Christ, whom I love? When you look at Paul's writings, you can't help but see the love that he has of Christ. I mean, he just exudes his passion. I love Paul. I really do. From a man that could be so on the wrong swing, so to speak, for God to use him in such an amazing way to write most of the New Testament. That's an amazing testament to what God can do in our lives. But Paul was generous with the gift. See, he said, you know what? To die is gain. But because of you, I know I'm going to remain. I know if I stay, it's going to be fruitful labor for me. And you know who will benefit? You. Is that our attitudes every day? Is our attitude as we go on, how am I going to be generous with this gift that I've been given? You know, when you've been given gifts, when you've been given stuff, do you share your stuff? Is it hard sometimes when you get that box of chocolate that you want to hide yourself in the room and just be like, ain't nobody know about this, just me and my chocolate? Or are you looking forward to giving it away? It's more important to give Christ away. You know, it's so easy to be running around, going, buying gifts at 2 o'clock in the morning and going to Black Friday and Yellow Tuesday and 3 for $5 Wednesdays and whatever. Everything's on sale. Are you so focused on that sale? Did you share your faith? Did you bring Christ with you? Did you allow Christ to show you? Did you pray that you'll be used by God? You know, before, when Richard asked me to do this message, I prayed and asked God, please, give me what your children need to hear. And I wrote this message in about 2 minutes. Because I've really felt that God totally told me what he wanted me to put. Now, we didn't have this big conversation. He didn't part the heavens and, John, this is what you must preach. But in my spirit, I felt this is what he wanted to hear, wanted you to hear today. You know what? There's a lot of people out of town. And they're someplace else worshiping God, and they're hearing the message that God had for them. Know that today, this message is for you. Going forward into the new year, are you bringing Christmas with you? Are you going to bring Christ everywhere you go? Is your attitude going to be one of giving God away, or are you going to be that silent Christian that's like a monk in Tibet, just praying all day by yourself but not giving it away? That's not Christianity. That's something else. That's a different message. Turn over to Acts 8. You know, as we talk about all this, I'm not saying things you never heard before. This is all simple stuff. You know what? But it's very complex to those who don't get it. People don't understand to live like this. They don't walk around thinking, how can I give Christ away? That's not a concept we think of. We don't think about how we can bless others. Most of the time we think about, how can I be blessed? What am I getting under the tree? What are you going to do for me? That's totally different than the way that we're supposed to live. You know, this message can bless you, or it could just be another message. You know, we hear the Bible preached pretty often to us. As disciples, we're supposed to be in our word every day. You know, being in it and living it are two different things. Totally two different things. You could have been given a gift of a Bible for Christmas, and if you don't use it, it's just another book in your library. God wants us and intends us to live deliberate lives. We need to deliberately do the things the scriptures call us to do. Again, wisdom is only wise if you use it. It's like having the winning lotto numbers. They don't do nothing unless you turn them in. And if you don't really want to turn them in, see me after service and we can talk about some stuff. Look over in Acts 8. You know, my third point, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Acts 8, let me set this up. In Acts 7, we see Stephen. He was killed for the faith. He was out there preaching and telling people what they need to hear. They didn't really like it too much, so they stoned him. We're going to pick up in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Did you catch that? Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You know, we read that and we're like, huh? You know, I get that fundamentally. I understand as disciples, that's what we're supposed to do. I remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Disciples are supposed to make disciples. I get that. But didn't these guys just go through a lot? Aren't they being persecuted? You know, persecution meant physical harm. They weren't just called Christians and made fun of in their high schools. They weren't just calling you preacher at work. They were physically hitting you. They just killed Stephen. These guys witnessed this. The church was scattered. It wasn't a pleasant situation. It wasn't like these guys said, well, you know what? Let's go on a missionary journey. Let's go out and plant churches other places. No. They were being attacked. What do you do when you're attacked? Do you realize that it's not about you? It's not about you. That could be a harsh message too. Because that's not God's message. Let me preface that and let you know what my thinking is on that. God understands when we're hurting. There's a lot of people during this season that have been sick. There's a lot of people during this year that have lost loved ones. God hurts for every situation that happens. As a body, we need to hurt with each other as well. That's not what I mean when it's not about you. That would be harsh. That would be wrong. What I mean about that is Stephen was just murdered. The disciples went, and wherever they went, they brought Christ with them. And they spread the word wherever they went. Whatever situation God has put you in, he calls us to use that for his glory. Whatever situation it is, whether it's death, whether it's disease, whether it's loss of a job, whatever your situation, God calls us to bring him with us. You know, when we look at, I believe it's John 10, when with Jesus and Lazarus. And when he went and he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, what did he do? He wept. Why? Because he felt their pain. He understood what they were going through. He didn't want his children to suffer. But he still used that situation to his glory. You know, when we live lives like that, people are astounded. You know, I think about, during this time of the year, I can't help but think about my parents. Amazing people, amazing disciples. And I can't help to remember what they went through before they died. They both died with lung cancer. And watching them share their faith with anyone that came to visit with them. Share their faith with the doctors, with the nurses. Share their faith with people that are going to watch them die was amazing. To know that they used that situation to the glory of God. Was it hard? Sure it was. Were there times of suffering and of maybe even of doubt? Sure there was. But they made it to paradise. They made it to paradise because they understood that it wasn't about them. They understood they didn't want to believe the hype. That life was all about us. As we live life that, especially in the high schools, man, I love working with the high school kids. They keep life fresh for me. But in the schools, they feel like it's all about them. Look at what I could do. Look how well I play this sport. Look what I do with this. Look what I do with that. We have some amazing teens, disciples. We have amazing teens that are seeking after God. Their attitude is not that. We have Bible talk. They don't want a movie. They don't want the fluff. They want the scriptures. They want to be taught how to bring the scriptures to their friends. They understand life is not about them. You know, the world is looking for a temporary fix. They receive that fix December 25th every year. They want that good feeling. They want that all men loving each other. They want all that. They want that all year round. But they don't get, the only way to get that is through Jesus. Guys, let us remember that we need to be grateful for the gift of Jesus. We need to be generous with the gift of Jesus. And you know what? It's not about us. Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the perspective you give us through your word. God, thank you so much for reminding us as we read it who you are, God, and what you've done for us. God, thank you so much for reminding us of the true gift, Father, and give us the perspective as we go in the new year. Give us the perspective to remember why we're really here. God, who we're really here for and what the things are that we're really trying to accomplish. God, for disciples, there is nothing else but to love you, God, and help other people to do the same. God, anything else is just a beating against the air. God, so help us to keep the right perspective. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world. Help us to live lives that truly bring glory to you and your name. God, we love you so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, guys, it's been a great service. And we're not going to see each other again until next year. Next Sunday is January 2nd. We will be back here at 10 o'clock. That's going to be our first service back in the new year. And we're going to start talking about faith in our great God, which is our theme for 2011. You don't want to miss next week, okay? And we're going to set up the entire year, and I can't wait. You know, that sermon has been cooking for the last several weeks. Okay, I'm still working on it. But it's going to be tremendous. Obviously, we don't have any midweek, but we are going to be back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. And going forward, again, I know it doesn't snow over here very often. You know, I had, you know, a bunch of people even call me last night, and some this morning, are we having church? We are having church unless you hear otherwise. So you don't need to call anybody, okay? If we're not going to have church for whatever reason, somebody will call you. Somebody will contact you, Are you with me? We will send out a mass email, whatever it is. We will call you. So you don't hear anything. We are having church. And Steve Galbraith and I spoke last night. And so believe it or not, 7 o'clock this morning, we both got out of the house. And we drove around. And I called him. I said, bro, the roads are actually dry. He said, yeah, I'm also driving. I said, great, we're having church. So we're not going to put anybody in danger, obviously. And so just in case, if you don't hear anything, are we having church? We're not having church. You know, we are having church. You remember in February when Douglas Arthur was making fun of us? Saying, oh, we've had this blizzard. Here he is, he's coming from Boston, and he flies in, and there's 2 inches of snow on the ground. And he called us Georgia sissies. I don't know about you, I'm not a sissy. Okay? And so, you know, it's going to take a whole lot more than 2 inches for us to cancel church. That's all I'm saying. We're not going to put anybody in harm's way, obviously. But it's been a great time being together. Please be praying. There are a couple of people thinking about the decision of making Jesus Lord of their lives, and they're probably going to be baptized before next Sunday. And so we need to continue to pray for those that are studying the scriptures. But I'm really looking forward to 2011. God has done incredible things in 2010, and the best is yet to come. And that's what we have forward to look forward to. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing a closing song, and then we're going to be dismissed. Happy New Year in advance.